This time I invite you to turn your Bibles to the Psalms. Psalm 98 is the psalm we're going to look at. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that this morning, as I mentioned to you this morning, I picked a couple texts that I thought would be fitting for the first Sunday of the year. So this morning we looked at Matthew chapter 11. This evening I want to focus on Psalm 98. I'm going to look at the psalm in its entirety. I'd ask that you'd follow along as I read aloud. I want to remind you once again that this is God's holy, authoritative, inspired, and infallible word. Psalm 98, a psalm. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Since the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. Again, I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this psalm together. And as I said this morning, if you're someone who wants to take some notes, I will help you in that if that's something you choose to do. But before we do that, let's go to our Lord and let's pray and give thanks to our God for his word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the generosity that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, that you have been gracious to us and kind to reveal your word to us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand it in our minds and believe it in our hearts, that we would behold the wonderful truths from it, and that we'd respond in praise and worship. And, Lord, we thank you in relation to this, that the generosity that you have placed upon the hearts of your people, the giving of tithes and offerings. And, Lord, we pray that you would use them for your glory and your honor and your praise. And so, Lord, we pray tonight as we look at this psalm that we would indeed hear it and apply it. We would ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you were to study the scriptures, you would know that there are several passages that refer to making a joyful noise. And I understand these passages very literally. You'll notice that I stepped away from the pulpit mic, but I noticed that you have side mics, so you probably heard me sing, and you recognize that I don't sing very well. And I'm not, I can't play an instrument, I can't play the piano, I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, but I don't think that counts. My kids can play the piano and instruments, but I can't. But when we're talking about I can make a joyful noise. It's noise, but it's joyful. And when you think about it, whether or not how talented you are in singing or playing an instrument, one of the reasons why we come here is to worship the Lord our God. Sundays are meant to be joyful noises as we worship together as God's people, as we worship him and him alone. Not too long ago, when COVID hit, it was probably strange for many of us. Maybe there was a time that we worshiped from home, and it seemed odd. And it seemed odd in part because we recognize there's something missing when we are at home. We're not together. There's something missing about that worship when we're not here singing his praises. And there's something off with when you talk to people who are only worship on Christmas and Easter. Those are tend to be very are holidays in which many people are more spiritually oriented. And so we use those as opportunities to invite them to come to our church. But worshiping just a couple of special days a year, for many that doesn't seem too abnormal, but for us that would be very odd to only come here a couple times a year. Worship is not to be done because, well, this is where my family always went, or it's because my parents brought me here. Or maybe there are some that are thinking my parents forced me here. But we come here to make a joyful noise. Psalm 98 really focuses on that. This is a psalm that is very much all about praise, all about worship. In fact, since we just finished the Christmas holidays, we recognize, if you're familiar with this psalm, you might recognize that Joy to the World, Isaac Watts' famous Christmas hymn, is based on this psalm. The psalms are described by church fathers as the anatomy of the Christian soul. It's the psalms that provide us for those songs to sing, and no matter what we're experiencing in our Christian life. There are psalms that are laments, why, Lord, oh why? There are psalms that, that Lord, deliver me from my enemies. There are psalms that are where we're struggling with sins. There are psalms like Psalm 98 that are primarily focused on praise and worship. So it's a fitting psalm on the first Sunday of the new year to ask ourselves as we enter 2025, am I a joyful noise? Do I make that joyful noise? This evening, what I want to do is look at the psalm, and I'm going to encourage you through the Psalm 98 to encourage you that why we are called to be by God to make joyful noises. And so that next Lord's Day, maybe we sing a little louder. Maybe we have a little more pep in our step. We're a little more joyful because of our God. So this evening, if you're taking notes, it's going to be a really easy outline. I want us to think of this as past, present, and future. Because that's what Psalm 98, that's how it's divided up. And Psalm 98 is divided up. Notice the first three verses is about what God has done in the past. Verses 4 through 6 is what God is presently doing. And thirdly, in verses 7 through 9, what God will do in the future. So that simple outline, I want us to look at Psalm 98. So here our Bible's open, let's look at it. Our first point is this, is what God has done in the past. Notice it begins, a lot of times you might just kind of overlook it, but you'll notice in that those bold letters, it simply says a psalm. That's all it says about this. It's all the description we have. Some psalms give us a lot of details. This psalm, very little details. But it's a psalm. It's a psalm. In other words, it's a song. It's something to be sung. And we're going to do that, by the way, after our study tonight. We're going to actually sing Psalm 98 to close tonight. What God has done. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What God has done in the past, these first verses give us, in a sense, a direction of where our joyful noise should go. A direction. I want you to note something, and if you have your own Bible, maybe some of you maybe like make some notes in your Bibles, and if that's something you choose to do, I want you to note all the pronouns here. There's very few pronouns, if any, about what the psalmist, whoever this psalmist is who wrote this psalm, there's really very little about the psalm that has anything to do with the writer. He's talking about the Lord God. If we look at our psalms or look at our songs that we sing from the hymnals, or sometimes they're songs about God. Sometimes they're songs about how we sing to God or how we respond to God. The psalms often do both. But in Psalm 98, it is an urging here, by an urging to praise God in Him alone. Sing to the Lord a new song. It's not a song when we think of new, some of us might think of a brand new. Maybe we've shopped for a car recently and we're like, I would like a brand new car, a 2025. You pick the make and model. That's a brand new car. But sometimes new is often might be a new to you kind of thing. A renewed, if you might say. So like if I go out, if my wife and I decide, hey, you know, tomorrow we're just going to go buy a car. It's a 2020. It's new to us. It's not a new car, but it's new to us. Why I use that illustration is that when the psalmist says, sing the Lord a new song, it's not necessarily making up a new song. But it's a sense of renewal in our own hearts and our own minds to sing that song, to look back on what God has done. To be encouraged in that, to come to worship the living God, to sing to Him, to prepare to come to worship Him. Do you remember Psalm or Revelation 5? In Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, we read this, that they in glory sang a new song. And it was directed to God Himself. They were singing to God for His redemption, singing to God because He has done those marvelous things. And we can look back at years past, and as we look into this coming year, to be reminded of what God has done in the past. It's something we often will forget. But what God has done for us, we're not singing a new song about a new Savior, but we're singing about a Savior specifically, as Revelation states, that Lamb of God who purchased us by His blood. What encouragement for us to sing that new song. To notice what God has done for us. The marvelous things that He has done. And a lot of times in sermons, reference the old hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. And I heard a youth pastor who shared this. It's something so profound, but it's worth mentioning here. We sing about God's amazing grace, but the question I have for you tonight is this. Are you really amazed by God's grace, or are you simply dazed about it or unfazed by it? There are people who are dazed by it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They look at the scriptures and they say, I don't get what this is all about. Or there are those that are unfazed. They shrug their shoulders. Oh, so Jesus saves. But if we truly believe that God, if we are truly amazed by God's grace, we are going to sing and we're going to see the marvelous things that God has done for us through Christ Jesus. We notice here that in Psalm 98, the psalmist gives us six reasons why we sing a new song. Six reasons why we should sing hosannas and hallelujahs. It's something for us to think about when we are praising God, because the reality is if we don't hold to these, if we don't ponder these in our hearts, our worship is nothing more than a lip sync concert. It's nothing more than just mouthing the words and not meaning a thing. Look with me here at Psalm 98. We were reminded of God's amazing grace because he's done marvelous things. Because his right hand and holy arm have worked salvation. And it goes on and says, the Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these three verses encompass for us the gospel. It's Charles Spurgeon who wrote that Christ has come and he has conquered. He has lived a marvelous life. He died a marvelous death. He rose in a marvelous resurrection. He ascended marvelously in heaven. It's the marvelous things that God has done for us we find in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as we think about the coming year or even the coming week, we are reminded of what God has done, and therefore we can sing and we can be that joyful noise. We see how God entered space and time, how God entered human history, how he lived that perfect life, and how he's willing to die that cruel death to make that salvation known. Rejoice in those truths. Remember what God has done in the past. Be a joyful noise. That leads us to our second point this evening. Our second point this evening is this. What God is presently doing. What God is presently doing. Now you might look at this passage and you might look at verses 4 through 6 and you might be going, what is God presently doing? Well, we know, but I mean, we might look at these verses and say, I'm not sure. But what verses 4 through 6 remind us of, it reminds us of not only our direction. As we study the past, we see the direction where we worship. We worship God alone. But these verses remind us of the passion that is ours as we worship the Lord. If we read this, I'm using the illustration. If you were to illustrate this, if you were an artist and you decide to draw a picture of verses 4 through 6, I'm guessing it probably looks something like a parade. Or a band concert. Sing to the Lord a new song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises of the Lord to the lyre, with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. This is pomp and circumstance. And then what God is presently doing, we find in that very last words of verse 6. He's the King. He's the Lord. Psalmist has seen what God has done and has impressed his soul. And so when we consider what Jesus has done for our sakes, we can't help but become more passionate about praising him for his grace. Many of us have close, if not all of us, have a close relationship of some sort, whether it be a spouse, a best friend, a child. We in that relationship, we say things like, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I respect you, and I'm so thankful for you. But when we come before God, our King, to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I respect you. Lord, I value you above everything else in the entire world. Because you are the King. You are the ruler. You are my master. You are my Lord. And right now, you reign and rule over us. And so therefore, right here, right now, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to be a joyful noise. It gives us a sense of passion, doesn't it? For some of us, we might be struggling a little bit. I'm just not sensing it. It goes back to what we looked at this morning. You know, I'm burdened. I'm worried. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just there's too much. I can't be passionate, Lord, about what's going on with all everything that's going on in my life right now. I can't really be worshiping you. I can't really be passionate about it because I'm just not sensing it. We might be feeling that way in part because maybe we've never tasted that grace. Maybe we've never really truly reflected upon the magnitude of that of God's grace. Maybe we are more unfazed. Maybe we are more dazed about God's grace instead of being amazed by Him. Because when we see what we deserve, and then we see His grace through Jesus Christ, and we see that He indeed reigns over us, and He rules over us, and He calls us here in this passage to make a joyful noise. When we see that, we recognize, and Psalm 98 is not about us. It has everything to do with God. To be passionate about His worship. To lift up our voices. To humble our hearts, to worship Him with everything that we have, with our whole being, to be ready to praise Him. If you don't know God as King, then if people don't recognize that God isn't King, then it's no wonder that people aren't here. It's no wonder people only worship a couple Sundays a month. Or a couple Sundays a year. It's no wonder that people shrug their shoulders and say, it's not that big of a deal. I can worship at home. But when we see our God, our King, who reigns over us and yet loves us and was willing to send His Son, Christ Jesus, for our sakes, as we see the grace, His grace at a cross, an empty cross and an empty tomb, and we see the forgiveness that's ours, I pray that we would be joyful noises. That we would truly appreciate all that He has done and is continually doing right now. As He leads us, as He directs us, as He guides our paths. And knowing that truth, may we be passionate about worshiping Him. And that leads us to one last thing I want us to look at. Verses 7 through 9. We saw what God will do in the past, what God is doing presently, and now what God is doing, what God will do in verses 7 through 9. And this, brothers and sisters, gives us a sense of hope in our worship. Notice what it says, "Let the sea roar and all that fills it. The world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." Here we have not just God's people, but we have all of creation worshiping God. How all creation will give praise. We remember in Paul's letter how the creation groans before it waits for the second coming. We think about when Jesus in the Gospels, when the Pharisees are like, tell these people to be quiet at Palm Sunday. He says, look, if they're silent, even the rocks will cry out with joy. And here we read, the sea is roaring and the rivers clapping their hands and the hills singing for joy before the Lord. And the reason why is because because what God will do in the future, because Christ is coming again. And so when we sing Joy of the World, and you know, if Adam sings that next June, don't be surprised by it, because it's a song that speaks not only about the first advent, but about the second advent as well. Because there's a time where the Lord God in the future is going to, in the person of Christ Jesus, he's not going to come as a babe born in Bethlehem. He's going to come as a judge on the clouds with his angels. And he's coming again. And for some people, that's something that strikes fear in them. But I pray that tonight for you and I, that it brings us hope. And that hope sparks our worship. We're reminded when we take communion that we are to, Jesus tells us to do so until he returns. And we should be worshiping the Lord until he returns. And that hope is not just an empty hope, like we might say, I hope Penn State wins this week. But that hope is based on fact, is based on truth, that God keeps his promises and he reminds us that Christ is coming again. And when he comes, there will be victory. When he comes, there his rule will be realized. When he comes, he will make everything right. And that's our hope. And knowing that and believing that, that Jesus, through Jesus Christ, God is going to win. That there will be a judgment. That there will be at his second coming. When there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Where there will be a time in glory, as we read in Revelation, of how we gathered as the myriads gathered together and sang a new song. To know that there's hope because Jesus is coming again. Many years ago, I had a pastor who said to me, you know, every sermon could be an Easter sermon. Every sermon could be a Christmas sermon. He says, but you know what, Al, what aspect of Christ that we often tend to overlook? It's Christ's second coming. To be ready. To be prepared. Brothers and sisters, I pray that each one of us here would be ready and be prepared. And what better way to be ready and to be prepared for Christ's second coming, to know that he is, that plan will not fail, that his promises will be kept, and we'd be confident and certain in this hope. What better way of being prepared for for Christ's second coming than to worship, than to praise him, than to be that joyful noise, because he's going to come and judge with righteousness. He's going to judge with equity. He's not going to be unfair. He's going to be righteous, equitable. So we make joyful noises because of what God has done in the past, what God has done doing presently, and what God will do in the future. So let me conclude this evening by asking you a question I want you to answer for yourself. Why are you here? Why do we go through all these items in our bulletin? I pray that each and every one of us answer that question. I am here because of the Lord God Almighty. I am here because of his grace that he showed in the past through Christ Jesus, what he's presently doing as my king, and my hope that Christ is indeed coming again, and that he will judge with righteousness and the peoples with equity. I pray that you would be here each and every Lord's Day because you recognize that Christ, that God's promises are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You're reminded that what God has done gives us direction. What he's doing currently gives us passion. What he will do for us gives us hope. That you would answer that question of why are you here? Because we are here to sing to God for who he is and what he's done for us. And you don't have to play an instrument. You don't even have to have a beautiful voice to sing. But when we come here, we're joyful noises. We're praising our God with our whole being. It's because of God. In Him alone, we make a joyful noise. And so let's tonight, and in the Sundays to come, let's sing to the Lord a new song. For He has done marvelous things. Amen. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord, some would say that this sermon has been preached to the choir. They are here this evening. When we look around and there are others who are not with us. And yet, Lord, we still need these reminders because while today we might be full of praise, tomorrow we might not. We might let the worries of this world burden us and bring us down. Lord, help us to be reminded of what you have done for us in Christ. Remind us on a daily basis that you indeed are King and you call us to faith and obedience to you. Lord, remind us each and every day that Christ is coming again, that we should be prepared and ready. Oh, Lord, make us joyful noises, that we would praise you and worship you, that we'd be living sacrifices holy and pleasing to you. Lord, write these words upon our hearts. Make these words be the meditation of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, Amen.